Hello, Don Mann.
Hey, Don. Clark Sanders and Nancy Hodges. And that kind of leads us into what we're going to be talking about this afternoon, and that is how political slogans influence the vote. And our guest today is Don Mann. How you doing, Don?
I'm doing just great, Clark and Nancy. Glad to be with y'all.
Thanks.
And where are you from, Don?
Right now I'm located just outside of Wilmington, Delaware, which is just south of Philadelphia.
Now, you have been studying slogans for some time. Is that my understanding?
Absolutely. The use of slogans really started for me back when I was in the Air Force as an officer, and you learned how to encapsulate big messages into a short number of words so that people could focus around them. And so that's what slogans and affirmations and proverbs do. They take complex thoughts and put them down into short statements. They really kind of leave it up to you to figure out what they mean. For example, one of the famous ones is, I like Ike.
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. It says you like him, but it doesn't say why or what you expect out of him or anything about him. You know, it says, I like the color of his car. I mean, you don't know what it means.
Well, yeah, and the other one was Madly for Adley.
There you go. Similar sort of thing. So that the but that's the power of affirmations and slogans is you remember them. We remember those kinds of things.
Oh, well, of course, obviously here in Kansas, anybody who has any Kansas history or whatever is familiar with I Like Ike. How important is it that the slogan have some sort of little rhyme in it or something clever or whatever? Because, I mean, like, for example, 4 years ago, President Obama's slogan was Hope and Change. It doesn't really rhyme or anything, but it certainly seemed to resonate with people. I Like Ike, of course, a little rhyme. So is having a rhyme or something clever, is that important?
Well, it's helpful. I wouldn't say that it's important for just those reasons that you described. What is important is that it encapsulates the aspirations, hopes, and dreams of the people the slogans are aimed at, so that they can identify with it and find good things and positive attitudes about what they're doing with those kinds of slogans. We've talked about the positive slogans, but we haven't talked about the negative slogans.
Okay, so it's really geared for the audience, not as an outpouring from the candidate. It's really geared for a targeted audience rather than just for the whole campaign.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, it's targeted toward, in this election, the small 10% or so of decision voters, the swing voters.
Right.
It's not aimed at the party hopefuls on either. You know, the dedicated party lines are drawn for people. They're going to do what they're going to do, right?
Sure.
Right.
So the slogans are really designed, and they look for them. In other words, you'll see slogans continually come out. They'll practice them, see what works, see what resonates. It may change up until the last minute, or at least the last week or so. I mean, you can only get things printed up and advertised so far. But they'll use those to look for those things that people latch onto and make the difference for the individual, what they receive out of it, what they perceive as being said out of it.
All right, if you're a candidate, not running for president, but just a candidate running for city commission or county commission or state representative or whatever, and you want to build a slogan around your campaign, how do you start? What are the 1, 2, 3, 4 type steps you take?
Well, it's the same thing that you do when you're running a store, or you're even trying to get your kids excited about going to do something. Your first thing is you may not, everybody doesn't plan it out in detail, but you look at the high points and then find ways to solidify them. For example, if you're running for political office and your thing is about schools, it's about police and safety in the streets, you may reduce it down to a future for our kids and a home they can love.
Is that kind of wordy?
Well, that's kind of wordy, but you're asking me here on the spot to come
sure,
up with something.
No,
you're not giving you 10 minutes.
No, you're an expert, Don. Come on.
What you do is you try them out with people and see what resonates. Some of the more wordy ones work. You know, the one that the three-worder that Mitt Romney has, you know, Believe in America. And if you look at some ones through history, they've been rather long. It's really what resonates with people, what they capture.
Right. In other words, you're really not – doesn't even have to be backed up with anything really in your campaign, but it's what your targeted audience might be moved by.
Right, that's where it is. And what you're doing is you're actually, the difference between political campaigns of today and what they happened even at the time of I Like Ike and, you know, Abraham Lincoln, is today the largest advertising campaign on planet Earth is called the U.S. political election process for president.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It is got the hard science of all the best marketing Madison Avenue types all behind it, organizing together, using every bit of cognitive and subconscious mind manipulation to get into people and get them to respond.
All right. Now, President Obama's slogan for this year, he's kind of dropped the hope and change. And before, I want to ask a question about hope and change before talking about the new slogan. The Republicans started playing off of that, saying we've got no hope and you can keep the change and stuff like that. Is that an effective tool when you use the other guy's slogan, even if you use it negatively?
Oh, absolutely.
Or does it just remind people of the guy who has that slogan?
Well, I think in order to answer your question, I'll face it simply yes, and I'll explain why.
Okay, sure.
Okay. The way the human person operates is we operate normally 95% by our subconscious mind and 5% by our cognitive aware mind. Okay, so that means that when it operates by the subconscious, you're just doing it, you're not even aware of it. What does happen in that process is that your subconscious feeds into your cognitive mind affirmations or slogans that fit every event that's going on right now. Okay, like I'm sure as I started the talk, I'll be guaranteed that one of you thought in your mind, okay, I'll wait and see what he says. Right?
Right.
That was an affirmation that came out of your subconscious because you've done that many times before. It's automatic. The key about subconscious statements is they take time to build. So when you talk about a political campaign, they're not going to try to build anything. They're going to try to link on what's already there because it takes months of effort.
It's faster.
Well, it's not faster. It's what's already there.
Well, yeah. It's more reliable as far as plugging it in.
Right,
yeah.
Because, see, the way your subconscious works is it takes months of effort to put something into your subconscious mind or your heart to where it now becomes the way you live and think.
Right.
And so they don't have that kind of time.
Correct.
So they're going to deal with where you are today, right now. And that's what's going to happen. And so that's how your subconscious works is your subconscious sends up to you signals or messages about as you go through life every day what's already in there. You're not going to get anything new. You're going to get what's already been built in the past, good, bad, or indifferent. Your subconscious mind doesn't care. It's just what's there. So that when they run a political campaign, what's there in most people operate, and most people don't like to think about this, but we have a lot of language that covers it up, but Madison Avenue knows this for sure. The most predominant emotion and attitude that we have is called fear.
Hmm.
We're going to afraid we're going to lose something, something's going to be hurt, and it's already there. All you got to do is find ways to trigger it. And what they've discovered is that negative campaigns win elections. Positive campaigns don't.
You know, that's intriguing to me, and I agree with you, but if fear is not your biggest fear, that must be a real minority of the general population.
Well, again, remember, the political slogans that are going on are designed to trigger what's already in there of your fears.
So when Republicans say to voters, well, you can keep the change, then that plays well?
That right, what they're trying to say is that you're going to have whatever's left over after they spend all the money on something else.
All right. Now, the new slogan that Obama has, I mean, at least I think he still has it, is forward.
Mm-hmm.
And watched with interest the Democrat convention where we had a video tribute to Ted Kennedy. You know, Bill Clinton came out and gave a talk. Jimmy Carter spoke to the convention on video. It didn't seem much forward. It seemed kind of backward. So when you do stuff that is counter to your slogan, does it matter? Or are people not paying that much attention? And
again, here's what happens. You have to understand what happens when you get into fear. And let me tell you how I learned this. This happened years ago in corporate America, And it was an amazing day. I was happy. Everything was fine. My kids were fine. My wife was fine. You know, the dog was happy. And we even had a little spending money, right?
Okay.
Things were looking good. I went into my office in Florida, and my boss called me in, and he gave me what I learned soon to call the assignment from hell. I went in happy, and I came out numb.
Okay.
All right. Not only that, as I was in numbness, another vice president came up to me and said, better men than you have tried to turn that plant around, and you're not going to make it either. Have a nice life.
So it played to your fear.
I talk about playing to my fear. I had it dumped on me with dump truck loads,
mm-hmm.
right? And, you know, and his assessment of me and everything else put it into that. And so, and not only that, this assignment was in, we were living in Florida at the time, and the assignment was in the St. Louis area. So I was going to be spending all my time away from my family on top of all that. You know, this assignment had written all over it, impossibility, fear, and to make it even worse, the a whole town depended on us pulling this thing off. At first, it sounded like good news. I was finally the president of my own division. I was given complete hire and fire authority, but it didn't do any good because this was a technical problem, and the only scientists and engineers on the planet who knew anything about it were the same ones locked in to listen to these words, fear, denial, and fault-finding.
Ah.
The only way out for them was, number one, to get out of fear, number two, face the facts, and three, move into creativity and own the problem to fix it. And no matter what I did, I could not throw them into any more limiting fear. They were stuck now, and I could not put them into any position to be stuck more. Not only that, but as I said, the whole town depended on it. Thousands depended upon what we did. Otherwise, it would mean economic ruin for lots and lots of people.
So you only had one way to go.
I had to get them out of fear. But, you know, the normal response a lot of people are trained in induces more fear. So the first thing key for me was I had to learn to keep myself from falling into mind-limiting fear and anger. The second was not to drive others into a similar mind-numbing fear and anger. And it started with my family, but it had to do with all the people I was going to work with.
All right, Don, we need to get a break. 823-9596, KSAL, toll-free, 1-800-608-1150. Star 1150, a free cellular call if you have a U.S. Cellular device, or if you're a Clark Sanders Facebook friend, you can get online political slogans. Do you think they really influence you or anybody else? KSAL's Friendly Fire will be right back. Right now we're going to talk to KSAL Friendly Fire is back, 823-9596, KSAL toll-free. 1-800-608-1150, star 1150, a free cellular call if you have a U.S. cellular device, or if you're a Clark Sanders Facebook friend, you can get online talking with Don Mann today about political slogans. And Don, I got a Facebook comment here that's kind of interesting. The Royals, which is the baseball team that out here in north central Kansas we follow, they started out the year with a slogan called Our Time. And what this is kind of about is the Royals, like a lot of teams, have been in a rebuilding process for a number of years. And it does seem like we have a bunch of fairly good young players. And I think at the beginning of the season, they thought that they were going to do better than what they ended up doing. Now, they started out very early on with a 12-game losing streak. I think it was about less than 10 games into the season. They began what turned out to be a 12-game losing streak, and it's sort of been out of it ever since. Well, Our Time kind of morphed into Our Town or something, and they had stuff all built around this, you know, Our Team, Our Town, Our Time, and then it what became apparent that it maybe 2012 was not going to be Our Time, and so they changed it. Good strategy.
Absolutely. Well, remember, what you're describing to me, not being there, what I'm hearing you describe is how they were trying to attract fans.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. This wasn't the message for the players.
No. No, this is the message. This is, I mean, you know, if you've you know, I'm 57 years old. I've been following the Royals for a long, long time, and I remember the good days. I remember back in the late 70s and the early 80s when the Royals were competing for pennants and competing in the World Series and actually in 1985 winning the World Series. Now, my three kids, the oldest of whom is going to be 24 next month, they've all grown up as Royals fans, but they're living off of my and my wife's memories as much as anything.
Yeah.
Because, like I say, the oldest daughter was born in 1988, and ever since she's had any awareness of them, they haven't been good. But they appear to be getting better. So now they're trying to say our time, but it clearly isn't our time yet.
Well, that's the, you know, the slogans are designed to, those kinds of slogans are designed to encapsulate people, get the audience, the people that support the team to come out and look at the team.
But when it clearly isn't happening, you've got to change course.
Well, they may change the slogan
and
from our time to not yet.
Well, that isn't necessarily going to draw fans.
But that's
Larry and Salina, you're on KSAL's Friendly Fire.
Yeah, that's not going to draw the fans. But, you know, I would aim for something particularly, and when you're describing what's happening to the Royals, it takes me right back to what I was telling the story about what life was like for me when I went to that failing team in that plant who was all wrapped up in fear. Now, these were the top scientists and engineers in the world.
All right, hang on a second, Don. We got a call.
Oh, good.
Larry, you're on KSAL's Friendly Fire.
Hi.
Larry.
You know, one of the slogans that has really caught on is this one called Lean Forward. And I can relate to that. Because I went to see a doctor one time, and he told me about the same thing, only he said, bend over. And I think that's exactly where this president just wants everybody to do is bend over.
Oh, okay.
Pretty funny, Larry. Not.
823-9596, KSAL, toll-free, 1-800-608-1150, *1150, a free cellular call if you have a U.S. cellular device. Okay, so you go to Florida or you go to St. Louis to help this team out.
Yep. And so I was there, and I understood the first issue was for me not to get into fear. Okay,
sure.
The second issue was not to stir them into more fear.
Sure.
Okay. And particularly, I had to get to the place where I didn't have any anger toward God. I mean, this was life-threatening for me and a lot of people, you know, why am I in this kind of mess? Instead, my job was to believe him for his help and for his truth to show me what to do. And I literally went there with eyes scanning the horizon like a radar beam, looking for the wisdom and help of God to show up somewhere, and we moved forward. And you know what? We did it. In 6 years, we went from losing money to $500 million.
Wow.
It was 15 years later before I learned the science that explained what I had done for myself and for the people in that plant. The very same program I developed years ago for myself was the creation of the book I wrote called Okay, God, Now What? It has the same principles that you can apply to getting any good from God so anyone can have the best life possible. That's
okay,
what's
so,
in there.
So how does this relate to slogans?
The purpose is that we operate by slogans, and slogans are affirmations help us focus on where we need to be. They limit our mind and our thinking into something that's concrete and positive. And so you take a little bit more complex slogans, we call them affirmations, and you use them to reprogram your subconscious mind. And as you do that on a continual basis, it will change your self-identity and your attitudes toward life. And so that's the, along with some skills that get developed in the process. So in the case of with the scientists and engineers who are working on this problem, what I did was I kept calling them up higher to their best self. They were the best engineers, had the best technical training. They were the best that they could be. Remember when I talked about what they were, the position they were in first was in fear, denial, and accusation. Because that's what fear does to you. It limits your thinking, it shuts you off, and you can't see it, and you need a savior. You need somebody to come help you. You can't own the problem to fix it. And that's the problem with the negative political campaigns. They're designed to get you so you don't think, so you aren't aware, and you can't own any problems.
Okay, but you said earlier that they work.
That they work doesn't mean they're good for you.
Well, I understand that,